Thank you. Thank you so much. My heart is full tonight, full of thanksgiving that we're part of your family here at this wonderful church, that we worshiped together. My heart is full. My heart is also full because God has blessed us so very much. If I could say anything to begin, I would say, Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thy great power. Ah, Lord God, Thou hast made the heavens and the earth by Thine outstretched arm. You know this song, don't you? Nothing is too difficult for Thee. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. You're a great and mighty God, great in power and mighty indeed. Then what's it say? Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult. I'm not in your key. Nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing is too difficult for Thee. And they're singing that about God. There is nothing that is too difficult for Almighty God. And you know, this is from Jeremiah chapter 32 that says, Ah, Lord God. And I think every morning when I get up, the fact that I'm not dead, that I'm alive, I say, Ah, Lord God. Thank you, Holy Father. We have a new day today to be together. What would you like to do today, Almighty God? What would you like to do? I want to do it with you. Can we do it together? And you know, that delights the heart of God. You know that? It delights Him when we're saying, What do you want to do, God? Can we have some fun together? Because He loves to have fun with His people. Do you know that? Okay. Now, what I would like each of you to do is, I would like you to smile and turn to somebody and stay smiling. Just smile at them. Just, can you please just smile at somebody? Okay, I didn't see you back there smiling. Oh, thank you. I see you now. Okay, very good. Very good. My message for you tonight and is something that I feel we all need to remember. It's something that as children of God, we know it. Yeah, I know that verse. Yeah. But no, we don't know it in here. We know it up here, but we need to get it down into our knower so that we can live what it's saying. And the title is that we are overcomers. We are all overcomers. And I like that. And I'm going to start off with a scripture, and then what I'd like to do, I would like to share with you just for a minute or two why I am so emphatic about bringing this message to everybody. Because it's real in my life. It's really real in my life. So I guess maybe we should start right now. We've prayed so much, I don't need to pray again. So can we show where I was 10 years ago? On November 2nd of 10 years ago, this is me. There you go. Don't I look lovely? This is the intensive care unit at Strong Hospital. I'm not awake. I have half of my skull removed in this picture. I had, out of the blue, a ruptured brain aneurysm. And the day started out normal, and I felt a little dizzy. Emilio decided, we need to go to emergency. I fought him on it. Thank God he didn't do what I wanted. And they discovered that I had a brain aneurysm and my main artery exploded that morning. And off I went into surgery. You can show another photo when I was at the hospital, they told Emilio, the brain surgeon told Emilio, and add anything you want, Emilio, please. He said to Emilio, as I was going into surgery, they shaved all my head, and then they said, Emilio, we don't give her much hope, but we're going to at least try. That was what the brain surgeon told Emilio as they're taking. I didn't hear him say that to Emilio. I was told that afterwards. We don't give her much hope, but we're going to at least try. Later, I found out that they gave me 10% chance of making it through the surgery, 10% chance of living. So this is my head. You could see the sutures where they took out my brain. I have my brain. No, I found out I had a brain. They took off my skull. If I only had a brain. Anyway, so this is me. Would you show another one, please? There I am. I'm doing this with my thumb up. Because one of the amazing things that happened was they didn't expect me to wake up from the surgery. The brain surgeon told Emilio, I may not be able to speak. He told him, I may not remember anything. He told Emilio, I may not recognize anybody or even know where I am. So the first miracle was I woke up and I opened my mouth and saw this was Emilio and our daughter Bettina across the room. And I said, Bettina, I had a brain aneurysm. What's up with that? And then I closed my eyes and went out again. But the doctor, the brain surgeon, was shocked. And he flipped around when he heard me say, Bettina, because first of all, I woke up. I made it through surgery. Secondly, I recognized our daughter and Emilio. Next, I spoke, and I also remembered what happened, which that was for 10% chance. I think God did some mighty great things right there. Ah, Lord God. Ah, Lord God. Nothing is too difficult for you. Hallelujah. Is there another? Is this the last one? Oh, there I am. I needed to learn. I couldn't walk. I didn't have balance. As in this picture, I'm wearing a helmet, because half of my skull was gone for 7 months. So I needed to protect my head by wearing a helmet. I couldn't walk, so they have a belt on me, and a physical therapist would help me. I went to therapy 3 times a week, more, for a year to learn how to walk again, to learn how to balance, to learn how to use my left side, because I couldn't use it at all. I didn't even know it was there. That's what they call, in medical terms, neglect. When you don't recognize that you even have a left side. And I didn't. So all of that to say, I think that God has done a great work in my life. Every year. Is there another picture? Is this the last one? Oh, there I am. Okay, that's the last one. This was still in the hospital, no? Yeah. And you can only smile like that after having half your skull removed, after having a ruptured brain aneurysm. If God is in your life, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, and He's with you and you're with Him, then you can smile like this. Even though you're not all together yet, even though I couldn't walk, couldn't feel my left side, couldn't use it, just all different things were happening. But it was every day a day closer to gaining recovery and gaining healing and getting to the place where God could use me again in whatever way He wanted to use me. And so this is possible for anybody. I am not special so that God said, oh, angels, come on, let's get to work. We need the help. Lucy, you know, it's anybody who is a believer in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to say, if you would want to turn with me to 1 John 5, I didn't give you this. Yes. 1 John 5, verse 4 and 5. I know, I still am recovering from neglect. If you came and tapped my shoulder, I probably wouldn't respond to you. If you shook me, then I'd respond. But
I just want to say one thing real quick, apart from that has to do with all of this. The first or the second night when we were in the hospital, when she finally was awake and alert, it was her and I there at, I don't know, it was 3 o'clock in the morning.
In intensive care.
Still not knowing whether she was going to live or die. But she said something that I want you all to get tonight. And that is, she looked at me and she said, I don't know why this happened, and it doesn't matter. I'm never going to ask God why this happened. The only thing that matters is now is how will he use this to get glory. Get that.
I remember that. Because that's all that matters. You know, we are here on the earth for such a short time. And we are his children, Almighty God's children. And we were created to worship him and love him and give him glory and let others see how great he is so that they would desire him too. And it hurt my heart when people said, man, what did God do to you, Lucy? Why did God let this happen to you? Why did he give you a ruptured brain aneurysm? And I was at the time not even able to defend him, not that he wanted me to, but I knew God didn't give me a ruptured brain aneurysm. That wasn't God. And I wanted him to get glory through this entire situation somehow. And I am thankful that even today, tonight, Lord God, I can give him glory for what he's done in my life every day since that day on November 2nd. You know, and that's what makes me want to get up in the morning. I have a purpose in my life. And if the purpose is, what are you and I going to do today, Holy God? How are you going to receive glory through my life? Because there's many things I can no longer do. But you know what? I can speak. I can love people. I can give God glory. I don't need to do some of the other things I can't do anymore. Because see, in the realm, in the spectrum of life, what matters most, really, in all of us, is that we are one with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. And that we're living and obeying his word. So that then we can have joy. We can have peace. I am a better person now than I've ever been. And that's what I love. I am better in my character. I'm better in my ability to love on people, to share with people. I'm better in my ability to love my family and to care about the things that God cares about. And I wouldn't trade it for anything. I am so much better than I was before the aneurysm. And it just makes me full of joy. That's why I can get up in the morning and go, Lord God, because I really mean it. I have another day to enjoy life and enjoy all of you. Really, you know, it's such a pleasure to enjoy the people of God. And it's an even greater pleasure, which I love, when I can share with people who don't know him and give them hope. And give them a word that will encourage them. Or something from the scriptures that is just, you know, amazing, that will give them hope that they can live another day. That there are answers to their problems and their situations. Because that's truth. That is truth. See, the facts are that I had a very serious injury, which even to this day is causing me to be able to do certain things, not be able to do certain things. But the truth, those are facts. But the truth is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me from within. And I do have the mind of Christ. It's even better now. Because they kind of did a washing through it with that aneurysm. So I am a better person physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, and in every way. Since this happened. And that's the truth. I'm not trying to be faith-filled and positive believing. That is the truth. You could take that to the bank. Okay, so in 1 John 5:4-5, we are overcomers. We are all overcomers. That's my first point. And it says here, oh, good, good. Yes. For everyone born of God is victorious. Oh, man, do you just stop right there. I could preach on that for an hour. Everyone. Oh, who does that exclude? Nobody. Everyone. I love that. Born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has conquered and overcome the world. Our continuing, persistent faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Man, talk about, do you have any questions what that really means? Isn't that so good? That is so, so good. I couldn't have said it any better, Lord. It's wonderful. Really great. Hallelujah. So, number one, we are all overcomers. Number two, what makes us an overcomer? And number three, how do we remain an overcomer? Real simple. So, we are all overcomers spiritually, naturally, or spiritually and naturally. And I want you to take a minute to consider what we have already overcome in our lives. Because this causes us to have grateful hearts, you know? So think about it. What have you overcome in your life? The fact that you are here tonight, you've already overcome multitudes of obstacles, multitudes of things. And I won't even dare ask what you went through in 2020. And that's, you know, and I know it's, I'm not being funny because everybody, every single person, whether they are a believer or not a believer, went through incredibly difficult situations and circumstances spiritually, emotionally, and physically. And yet you're here tonight. That's my point. So you are already an overcomer. Do you see that? Just turn to somebody and say, you are an overcomer. You know, when you say that to somebody, especially a non-believer, you can't imagine what it does to them. Like, you know, wow. Because what do they hear otherwise? Usually how crummy they are, what they can't do, the failings they've had. Look at the TV and it shows them how they are not meeting up to what they should be, you know. There's no good news out there, so we need to help and give hope to everybody. Look at them in the eye. You're an overcomer. You are an overcomer. You are valuable. I love telling people they're valuable. You have great value. Glory to God. So you are an overcomer just by being here tonight. I love that so much. And whether it's a big battle, a little battle, they're all important to God. Remember that. Someone said, man, Lucy, I was sick, blah, blah. Never, I didn't go through what you went through, but man, was I having a rough time. And I said, that doesn't matter. Don't compare yourself to me. The fact that you had a difficult experience, a difficult time, or maybe some kind of illness, God cares about that. No matter how big or how little. So don't belittle what you're going through because God looks at it and he says, I care about you. I've got you. So I thank you, Holy Father. We are all overcomers. So what makes us one? Well, first of all, I just read it in 1 John 5:4-5. We are overcomers as we believe in Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior and have him living inside of us. And I give you permission to interrupt me anytime and add. We are one in the Spirit. We are one in the Lord. And we've been married for almost 50 years. Isn't that awesome? I know it. I'm thankful. So he's my wonderful partner in life and ministry. And so I give you permission to say whatever you'd like to say. So what makes us an overcomer? As I said already, I love in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9, and it says that we have this precious treasure inside of us. And I love to say it's a treasure without measure. This treasure, Jesus Christ, who lives inside each one of us. And you know, and I should ask even right now, because I don't want you to miss this wonderful message of life and truth. Is there anyone here that needs to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you've never received him. You haven't asked him to come and be your personal Lord and Savior. And if you are there, I won't embarrass you, but I want you to tell the person next to you, I have not received Jesus Christ yet. And then whoever that is, I want you to pray with them. Pray with them right where they are as I continue to speak. And let them experience eternal life. Glory to God. And a joy that can't be compared with any other joy. You know, thank you, Holy Father. So once you are born again, you've got the treasure of Jesus Christ living inside of you. You have Holy Spirit living inside of you. And that power, we have no English words to describe it, but it's within you. And that's what helps you be an overcomer and retain daily overcoming power. Thank you, Father. It says that it's this precious treasure is held in these perishable containers. I love that. You know, because our bodies, when I couldn't walk, couldn't balance, couldn't do anything for so long, I realized how fragile life is and how weak I really was in my abilities. And then I said, Lord, your glorious power lives in me, so no matter what I do, you're going to get the glory. And that's why we have these clay vessels, these, you know, weak vessels, and this glorious power is inside of us, because when we do something that is like, whoa, then you say, glory to God, and really mean it. God did this. Amen. I love you, Holy God. It says in verse 8, we're pressed on every side by troubles. I know we can say amen. But we're crushed, but not broken. We are perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We're perplexed, but we don't give up and quit. We're perplexed, but we don't give up and we don't quit. I say that over and over because there were many times in that first year that I wanted to give up and quit. I couldn't tie my shoes. I couldn't cook at all. I couldn't hold knives. I couldn't do anything that a mother, a grandmother, a wife, an administrator, a pastor is supposed to do. I couldn't do anything. And I remember I was sitting in the house one day, and I was sitting in, they helped me down the stairs, and I was sitting in the recliner. My son called. He said, hi, Mom, what are you doing? I said, I'm sitting in my chair. He said, Mama, what's wrong? Don't you like being in timeout? He didn't, and he said that. And I said, you know, I don't. I have to change my attitude. I didn't like being in timeout. But we don't quit is my point. We're perplexed, but we don't give up and we don't quit. We're hunted down, but God never abandons us. We may get knocked down, but then we get up again, don't we? We get up again, and then we get up again. We get up again, and we keep going. Now, it's very important. That's a decision. It's a decision, not a feeling. Faith is a decision, not a feeling. And let me add this. Faith doesn't necessarily make things easier. Faith makes things possible. They said, no, 10% chance. She's not going to make it. It wasn't easy. This wonderful surgeon was 6.5 to 7 hours working on my brain, my skull, whatever. And then it made it possible for him. He did things in this surgery for me that he had not done in others. And that was Almighty God guiding his hands, guiding his decisions, what to do for me and what not to do for me. You see, and that's what God does for us. That's what he does on our behalf. We don't know half of what God has done for us in our lives up to this point. We will see it at some point. And then we will just want to worship forever, for eternity, when we realize all the goodness that he's blessed us with. Holy Father. You know, John 16:33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials. In the world you have distress and frustration. But be of good cheer. Take courage. It means take courage. It means be confident. Be of good cheer means be certain, be undaunted. Take the courage of God. Take that courage that is already inside each one of you, inside of me. Take it and let it come to life. Let it explode within you and do what it's created to do. That's give you life, give you strength, give you hope, give you vision to see like God sees. Give you ears to hear like God hears. And give you a mouth that will give you the opportunity to talk like God talks. All of these are decisions. Then, I didn't even finish the verse, it gets better. For I have overcome the world. Jesus says, I've overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. The Lord says, I've conquered the world for you. I mean, how much better can that get? God has conquered it for us. Man, and it isn't because you're so wonderful and good looking. It's just because he loves you. It's because you said, Lord Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Come, Lord, live within me. I want to live with you. I want to live my life with you every day. And he says, I say yes to you, my son, my daughter. Yes, I'm with you. I'm going before you. I love also, and when Emilio preached on this verse, that word, conquer, correct me if I'm wrong, is the word Nike. Nike. You know where they got that from? They got that from the Word of God. Yes, they did. They stole it from the Word. And that means that I have conquered it for you. I've overcome it. I have the victory for you.
I am your means of success is what it means.
It means literally, I am your means of success.
Amen.
That Nike. I've overcome. I am your means of success. Man, I don't want any other means except Almighty God through Jesus Christ. That's the very best. That's what I went. So he's Nike'd it for you. Man, that is so good. Glory to God. So, man, I've got so much good news for you tonight. Okay, what else can I tell you? Let's see. In this verse of Romans 8, and I know I'm shooting these out at you, bless your heart. It says Romans 8:35-37, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity?
No.
Thank you. What does it mean he doesn't love us if we're persecuted?
No.
Does it mean he doesn't love us if we're hungry?
No.
Or cold? Or in danger?
No.
Or if we're threatened with death?
No.
No. Even the scriptures say, for your sake we're killed. Every day we're being slaughtered like sheep. No. Despite all these things, we have overwhelming victory. It's ours through Christ. who loves us. Not just victory. What's it say? Overwhelming, overcoming victory. I love the superlatives of God. He doesn't just say one thing. He makes it excessive. Overwhelming, overcoming, conquering victory is ours. And that's not just Lucy being happy. That's the truth. You see what I mean? That is truth from God's word. So take it. Take it. And say, Holy God, help me to really receive the revelation of what you've done for me. Holy God, I need that and I want it. So therefore I receive it in Jesus' name. Because see, I will never ever be the same again because of that amazing survival of a ruptured brain aneurysm. I have fallen in love with God more and more every day. You can't buy that. You can't pretend it. You can't make it happen by whatever. I've always loved God, but now it's just like, I just have such an advantage over you. I really do, because I almost died. To me, that's an advantage I have. I'm not better than you. What I'm saying is, I love God with such passion, I can't put it in words, because of what he brought me through. And I never forget it. Every day is a new day of overcoming for me. Working with him, with Almighty God, to do what I can't do. You know, you ask Emilio, he'll say, I can do that for you. And I'll say, no, I need to learn how to do this. This is therapy for me. This is God therapy for me. And so I try to do what I can't do. Because then you know who gets glory? God gets glory because I can't do that. But he can through me. He does it. And then I rejoice and I get the benefits. Man, you know, that's a win-win-win-win-win. And I just love him. That's what he gets for. I just thank you, Holy Father. So God is with us. God is with us. Can you just say, God is with me? Say that again. God is with me. Again, God is with me. Always, 24/7, he is with you. You're sleeping and he's right there. He's whispering. Holy Spirit's whispering in your ear. He's visiting you in the night. You are never alone. When I was in the intensive care and I was for a month, and then they moved me over to another area that I needed to get rehab and all. And in the night, I would wake up and I would long to be out of the hospital. And I remember one night in particular, I just looked up and I just saw a spot on the wall when I was in the intensive care and all the monitors, et cetera. And I said, Holy Father, I love you. I worship you. And then I looked to the other corner and I said, Lord Jesus, I love you. I worship you. I said, Holy Spirit, I love you. I love you. Holy God, I thank you that you're here with me. I thank you I'm not alone. And I worship you for your goodness in my life. And why do I tell you that? Because it's real. He is real. When you feel alone and you break through those emotions and you let your mind be the mind of Christ and you begin to talk to him, he manifests his presence with you that words can't express. And I never felt alone again. And when it would try to sneak in, I would just talk to him. And I would sense his presence and feel totally loved and cared for. I guess, again, what I'm saying is, it's not just Lucy. It's not, well, maybe that'll happen. No, because that's the character and nature of Almighty God. You see, that's who he is. And he's living, this treasure is living inside you. Treasure without measure. And therefore, when you reach out to him, as it says in James, draw near to God, and he draws near right to you. He jumps on you. He's ready to hold you tight and do whatever you need. And it's real. It's real. Holy Father, I thank you. It's real. Okay, how do we remain an overcomer? By keeping the Word of God in our minds, before our eyes, before all of our gates. Listen to the Word of God. Look at the Word of God. Read it. And let your mouth speak it. The more you practice something, the better you get. And that's also with the Word of God. That's also practice being in His presence. Practice the presence of the Lord. Well, how do I do that? Just like I said, I love you. Holy Father, I love you. I know you can hear me. Here I am talking to your wonderful children. Don't you love them, Holy Father? I know you do. I know you do. And I love you, and I thank you for the privilege of sharing you with them tonight, Holy God. You draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. That's how you stay an overcomer. It also says in Joshua 1, 8 through 9, it says, don't let this, the book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Day and night. Day and night. I don't want to. Well then, suffer the consequences. I love you, but meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Wherever you go. In the intensive care, wherever you go. Physical therapy, wherever you go. You're driving at night, going back and forth. When you go home tonight, he is with you, driving with you right in the car. No matter where you are, he is with you. See, that's real. That's what I meant when I said before I started speaking, I'm going to share things that we know. I know that. I know he's with us. He doesn't forsake us. I know that. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. I know. I've heard that. But let it go deeper inside of you. Because we're in a season of life right now where we're living. We are living in the days of Isaiah 5 where evil is called good and good is called evil. We all know that, right? Okay, so this is the time where we cannot just slough off these words. We have to take them and say, make this real to me. Holy Spirit, teach me what this means. Holy Spirit, I just read this word and I don't know what it means, but you know. So give me revelation on it. Help me to get it from my head down into my spirit so that I'm living your word, not just hearing it and saying, yeah, yeah, yeah. Which a lot of children of God still are doing because they're discouraged. They're disappointed. Their hope is waning. But they are still overcomers. It's a decision to become an overcomer.
Yes,
see, and that's what we need to decide tonight. When they said to me, I said, how long will I not be able to feel on my left side? Will I be able to walk and use my leg again? And they were so sweet. We don't know. You may never. You know, I can't tell you. So and that was the hope I had. But I made a decision that my God, nothing, nothing, absolutely nothing, nothing is too difficult for thee. So you do the impossible, God. I am your, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. You do it, Holy Father, and I give you all the glory. And I learned how to tie my shoelaces. I learned how to do that. I learned how to walk without falling. And that was, you know, I said, man, I look like I'm always drunk. And I just learned one thing at a time, one day at a time. And I didn't quit. See, and that's when God can do the impossible in our lives. Because he's willing to keep working with us. But if we give up, then he doesn't have permission. to work in our lives anymore. I know you know what I mean. Pardon me? That's right. If you quit, you will never overcome. One of the things that I did a lot was I did meditate continually on God's Word. What should we meditate on? Well, God's will for each one of us is a great thing to meditate on. You know, think about it. I love, 3 John 2? Beloved. My beloved. That's what He calls us. My beloved. I desire above all things. How many? All things that you prosper and that you be in health even as your soul prospers. Beloved, that's my desire for you. What is God's will for my life? What is God's will for my life? What does He want for me? He desires that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. How does your soul prosper? By meditating on the Word of God, by saying, Holy God, I love You when you're in the battle. Lord Jesus, I need You. I will do Your will. I will speak Your word. I mean, it's really just a matter of our wills. And then He jumps in and does what we can't do. And God knows there were many, 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 many things I couldn't do. There were times when I couldn't even think for long periods of time because my brain was so injured that it would overload and tilt. So if I was talking to you maybe, after 5 minutes, my brain would say, I'm done, I'm out of here. And I would just have to put my head down because it would stop thinking. My point is, God's power is not limited to what we can and cannot do. God's power is only limited when we limit Him in our lives. But He wants us all to manifest His overcoming power in our lives. That's His desire. And you say, yes, boosh, man, He just comes in and He takes over. That's a new word, boosh. Thank You, Holy Father. Okay, so meditating on His Word. I could take another hour and read you all the scriptures I have on that. However, I do want to say that it's a mental battle. I know, you know, Joyce Meyer says it's the battlefield of the mind, and that's so true. It's an emotional battle and a mental battle. Emotions want to rule. Thoughts want to rule. And many times the thoughts are not God's thoughts. Have you ever noticed, I just went through this last week over a matter. I kept hearing myself say, Lucy, you can't do this. Lucy, you know, you're not capable of this. Why did you even start it? You should have quit a long time ago. Lucy, you know, that was stupid. I mean, okay, now what's interesting is I thought I was saying those sentences to me. Do you know that the enemy of our soul will speak to you in first person, making you think that you're the one that's saying those things. And then what do we do sometimes? Yeah, that's right, I am. I should have never done that. Lucy, that's so true. You should have never started this, you know. And he's just subtly hoping, he's such a deceiver, he's hoping that you'll say, I agree, that's the truth, you're right, I shouldn't have done this, I am stupid, I'm this, you know, and then all of a sudden you have come into agreement with the enemy and the lie that is not true. And so it is a battle, but you've got to ask God for discernment, so that you will not come into agreement with those thoughts that are lies from the pit of hell. Am I communicating clearly? So next time you get a thought that says you can't do this, you just say, shut up, liar, in Jesus' name. The blood of Christ be against you. And then you counter it with what the Word says. Nope, I have the mind of Christ. I am an overcomer. I am whole and healed in the name of Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me from within. You may not feel it, but we don't go by our feelings. We don't make decisions with our sense knowledge. How we feel, what we see, what we hear, all senses, the five senses, don't allow the sense knowledge to overtake God knowledge and your spiritual truth in your life. Recognize it. Are your emotions taking hold? Recognize it. Recognize, say, Holy Spirit, help me to see. Give me red flags when my emotions are taking over decisions that I'm making that are not God. Help me to see, Holy Spirit, when I am making decisions based on my sense knowledge, what I smell, what I hear, what I see, what I've read. And then help me to cut it off in the name of Jesus Christ. It takes discipline. You've got to say, no, wait, no. No, Lucy, stop. Right now, just shut up. I tell myself to shut up a lot. Just shut up. Don't even say that anymore. Oops, I'm sorry. I hit it. Because what you need to do is to stop talking. Stop talking. Get a verse in and begin to talk the word of God, which is truth. That's the truth you need to say. And you know the power of the word of God. See if I have it in here. You already know it, but I'm going to read it again and ask God to put it into your spirit deep down. For the word of God that speaks is alive. And this is Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, but I'm going to read it and say it strong into the atmosphere. The word of God that speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, making it operative, energizing and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, the soul, and the immortal spirit, and of joints and marrow of the deepest parts of our nature. The word of God exposes and sifts and analyzes and judges the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. It is strong, powerful. And when you speak God's word, you know, I like to shout God's word. That's just who I am. But you know what? If you say it like this, it's just as powerful. And do you know what I like to do sometimes? Sometimes I like to tell the devil exactly who he is in this voice, because me want to laugh at him because he's defeated and I don't have to scream at him. Why waste my energy? You are defeated by the blood of Jesus Christ, by the powerful word of God. The enemy, the devil, is defeated, has been defeated, continues to be, forever is. And sometimes we forget it. So that's why we need to say it over and over. Say it loud. Say it soft. Just say it. Okay? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Faith is a decision, not an emotion. Living by faith, I already told you, faith doesn't make things easier. Faith makes things possible. I love that. You know, sometimes you've heard seeing is believing. Well, that's not always true, okay? Because in faith, you don't have to see it to believe it. It's a decision. I believed that I could walk. Well, Lucy, you may never walk again. Lucy, you may never work again. I don't need to see it to believe it, because my God is a faith God. And so what am I saying? I am saying for you to say, just like I said, whatever difficult situation or mountain you're in right now, then you say, I don't need to see it in reality here to believe it, because it's spiritual reality. So you work with the spiritual reality of whatever it is that you're believing for. And then you thank God for it. You thank Him for it, who is able to provide above and beyond what you can ask or think. And that's not just money. That's not just material things. That's being able to walk again. That's healing. That's healing of a wound in your heart. that's healing of mental illness. Whatever it is, God can do it. He does the impossible. That's his forte. He does impossible because he knows we can't. And that's where he comes in when we lean on him. I need you, Holy God. I need you. Holy Father. If your enemy can get you into the sense realm, and reason with you, he'll convince you every time that you're not an overcomer. Don't let him. But you know the circumstances. You know this isn't going to happen. You know this isn't good. God's not going to do this for you. That's going to be, you know, that's when you say, my God can do all things for me. He daily loads me with benefits and blessings. That's a good one to speak. Like I said, I have like 50 here. So there's one thing I want to share that I think is very, very important, and it's seeing in the dark. Let me tell you what I mean by that. We've all been blindsided. Have you not been blindsided by something? I think the pandemic, COVID, we were all blindsided. You know, boom, everything changed in a moment. But we need to learn how to see in the dark.